Matthew chapter 11, verse number 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, everybody say until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. I think there's a time in our lives in this 2018 we need to get spiritually violent. I'm not talking about hurting anyone, but I'm talking about tearing down the kingdom of darkness. Amen?
Amen.
John the Baptist was more than likely in his time considered as a radical. Guy come walking out of the wilderness, honey dropping down on his beard. Was it camel skin clothing he was wearing? Preaching a message that they didn't want to hear. Amen?
Amen.
He challenged everyone that he came in contact with on the fact of the kingdom of heaven was at hand, was nigh. The day that you and I are living in is a day that there's not one Christian, born again child of God, or even those who profess to follow Christ, not one that does not want to have a breakthrough. And we long to hear the voice of God clearly. That's the importance of coming to midweek Bible study. It's why it's important to read the Word of God. It's not in the fact of someone preaching to you the Word of God, is that you can hear God's voice out of the preaching of the Word of God. Anybody can read you a story or read you a Bible verse, but I want to hear what God is saying to me when I read that Bible and when I hear that Word of God. It's not just for the entertainment factor of it. I want to hear what God's saying to me. What does it speak to my heart and my soul? And I believe that's so important. I think we want God to speak to us.
Yes,
regarding the areas of concern in our lives or the world that we're living in or what our family is going through. Maybe we're praying for more faith. I know I can use more faith. We long for a breakthrough so that having a quiet time is no longer a struggle. You want to pray, you want to spend some time, get up early, or maybe before you go to bed at nighttime, and you just want to spend some time alone, sort of brushing out the dust and the stuff that was in your life all day long, or want to start out the day fresh with God's Word in your heart and your mind. Or we want fresh perspective and spiritual understanding about a difficult time or events that's going on in our lives. Maybe we're praying for our family. We want a closer relationship, or we're praying for a wayward child, or maybe we're single and we're alone and we need some comfort in our lives. Perhaps we're praying for a breakthrough in our finances. We long either to manage, how to manage money, how to do it better. Most importantly, how to make more money and not need to struggle so much. Either way, we long to hear God's voice in this area. I mean, I will come to church, and when I'm praying, as I did this morning, the fact is, you know, God, what do you want? How can we reach the city? Sometimes we need to ask God questions. It's not fact challenging God. It's trying to hear His voice to say, what should we do? Should I go to the right, go to the left, turn around, go back home? What do I need to do, God? How are we going to reach our city? I need to hear Your voice. And perhaps We're praying for freedom in some area of our life when there is a stronghold or a bondage going on in our life. We need to hear God's voice. Maybe we want to get free from anger, bitterness, resentment. Maybe we long for a breakthrough at work or in friendships. Picture it this way. Many of us at some time have used a power drill. Anybody used a power drill? Anybody ever watched someone use a power drill? We're drilling and pushing. We need to put pressure on it. I've had to drill a hole through two before. It's according to the kind of wood it is. Some types of wood are softer and you can get through pretty easy. Some are more dense and harder, and you have to push a little harder on the drill. The thing is, I want to drill a hole in that wood, so it's going to take some pressure, some effort to do that. Because really what I want is a breakthrough that wood. Sometimes a problem is solved, or sometimes it isn't, but the problem no longer has the same weight as it did before because I was able to have a little breakthrough with it and get through it. We'd like to have a breakthrough in some areas of our life that's been difficult maybe. In this area, you've needed a push and a struggle. You've encountered resistance, but almost through the wood, and one more little hard press, and it breaks through. And now it's easy. You can take the drill in and out now because there's no resistance to that. What a good feeling it is when you break through your problem or break through your difficulty or break through your struggle, and now that pressure is not there. It's not so hard pushing against what seems to be pushing back at you. Amen. Let's remind ourselves that hearing His voice for a breakthrough is certainly not a slot machine process. Excuse me for using that, but sometimes people get the idea, I just walk up to God and like you do a slot machine, put your prayer request in and pull the handle and you hope you hit the jackpot. God's going to answer. Can't have that mentality. We don't stick in a coin and hope for the answer. It's a relational process. It's a friendship process. It's a king and his bondservant process. It's a parent and their child process. Are you longing for a breakthrough? Amen. How many like to see miracles? Amen. I like to see miracles. I like to be in some of those revivals in third world countries where we hear the reports come back that the blind are seeing and crippled hands and legs are straightened out, bones are replaced where there wasn't a bone perhaps. I like to see the garter that you hear, like in Ethiopia, hanging on someone's neck, it just falls off to the ground. I like to see a breakthrough in apostolic Pentecostal services. God invites you a closer walk with Him, and that's where you begin the breakthrough, because when you start walking closer to God, there's no question about it. You will touch Him. I like the story found in 1 Chronicles chapter 14. And this is where David had been anointed king over Israel. And as soon as it happened, tells us in verse 8, 1 Chronicles chapter 14, all the Philistines went up to search for David. That's not the part of the story that intrigues me. It simply meant that enemies were now after King David. He's out in the highlight now. He's anointed king. As soon as you start doing something good for God, the enemy shows up. I got good news for you. God will help you have a breakthrough. Amen. Come on. And so the lesson here is in this story in the Old Testament that life will happen and things will come against your life. We have Christ, and of course, 1 John 4:4, is the fact is, greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world, and I love that. But there's something about this story that I notice here in 1 Chronicles 14. Here is this response. The Bible says that David heard of it and went out against them. The things are coming against your life that you have to get up and go out against them. How many's got problems you're facing? You need to go out against them. You see, you're kidding me, Pastor. No, not kidding you. Somebody stand up and says, hey, my God is an awesome God. And I'm an anointed child of God. He said he'd fight my battles for me. Oh, some of you don't believe that. It's in the Word of God. He's my buckler, my shield. He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel.
Amen.
David heard the enemy was coming looking for him, so he just gets up and goes out and meets them. I know sometimes we get afraid, but we don't need to be afraid. And the reason why we don't need afraid is found in what David did. Notice what David took on himself here in this 14th chapter of 1 Chronicles, verse number 10. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? He asked God a question. Will you deliver them into my hand? Meaning, shall I confront them in battle? You want to go out against the devil? You want to go out against the problem? You want to go out against the job that you lost? You want to go out against all the things that's facing you and pressuring you? Do you want me to go out? Are you going to give me the victory over this thing in my life? God, if I go out, would you give me the victory? David's asking God. David inquired of the Lord and asked to hear the Lord's voice about this specific matter. That's the key to practicing faith, I believe. There's a famous verse that says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Now, of course, we already read the word of God. Of course, you have a Bible, either a physical Bible or you have an electronic Bible, iPad, iPhone, something like that. You read the word of God. You do. Do we hear the Word of God? Do we read it or do we hear it? Do we read it or do we hear it? Now listen, Brother Ignacio last week taught, and he said, I'm supposed to preach and give you the best as if I'm at General Conference. So you need to act like that you're at General Conference and respond. You can read the word, or do you hear the word? Glory. You have no idea how much that encourages me. Do you read the word of God, or do you hear the word of God? Glory to God. To hear the word of God, to hear the word of God. Sometimes we want a specific word from God. You may have said it. I know I have said it. God, would you send somebody by with a word of God? Would you let somebody call me with a word from you? It's different if they sent you a note and said thus and so, but if they called you on the phone and said, I was in prayer and the Lord spoke to me to call you and tell you thus and so, it has a greater impact. Has a greater impact. We had the Bible already reading it. What decision do we make? What things do we do? At such times that we're invited to ask God something specifically. And we do, and we pray, and we seek God. Sometimes God will speak to us by using a specific portion of Scripture, pointing out sometimes God just speaks to our heart. We feel the presence of God, feel that little inspiration. Anybody ever been feel that inside inspiration to do something and you don't do it? And then there's something that kind of quickened you, like I should have done that, I should have moved upon that. We used to have called marching around the walls of Jericho. That's old Pentecost. Once in a while, we get one or two people that get up. And what we've done, we've designated it. Well, that's what they do. Well, you know why they're walking around the church, their hands raised up, say, well, that's kind of disruptive. Not if you got your mind on Jesus, it isn't. If you're a spectator, you say, I wonder what they're doing. I wonder why they're doing that. You know what my pastor taught me when I first got in church, and that's going on? Those are faith walks for victory. That's faith walks for God answered the prayer. Amen. 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 I want to have an answer from God. I want to hear the voice of God. Now note the Bible says in this First Chronicles, the Philistines, they raided the valley of Rephaim. Rephaim means giants. The Philistines were saying, and I believe they were very much so trying to send a message to David. They're using a straightforward scare tactics. They wanted to intimidate him. The devil will try to intimidate you, but he has no authority to do it. Amen. Has no authority to do that. But if he can get by with it, intimidate you, he will always try to intimidate you. Now David, when he heard that Philistines were coming in this valley of giants, he could have responded with overconfidence. He might have thought, hey, I've killed giants before and this is no big deal. Or he could have responded with fear. Man, these Philistines are something else, a nation of giants camping in the valley of giants. But he didn't do any of that. What did he do? He went to prayer. He went to prayer. God, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to go out to battle? If I go out to battle, are you going to give these enemies into my hands? Sometimes we get so fearful, we don't do anything. We don't pray. We don't trust God. We stand still, and it's good to stand still once in a while. The question is, why did David inquire of the Lord when the enemy was in this valley of Rephaim? Because David, like you and me, he wanted to know that this initiative wouldn't be done on his own understanding. David had strength. David had skill. He was a fighter. He was a warrior. But he wanted to have faith too. He could have fought the Philistines by his own strength and skill alone. Wouldn't have been the first time. But David knew that a much greater strength and confidence would come from relying on God. As I'm standing here this morning, and I've said it many, many times in prayer, God, unless you build the house, we labor in vain. What do you want us to do? What should we do? How can we reach this city? I know it's your spirit that draws people to you, but when you draw them, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to reach people? I'm in partnership with you. I'm in relationship with you. The church is in partnership with God. Every one of you are in relationship with God. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Praise Jesus. Amen. What do you want me to do, God? I want to hear the voice of God. Amen. Now, how does this relate to you and me tonight? We will not have a breakthrough in our own lives unless we have faith. And we all know that. Amen. And we will not have faith unless we hear God. We will not have any breakthrough unless we purposefully and regularly set aside time to listen for the voice of God. When God gives us a word, we have enough light to take the next step. And I say that because faith is never blind. There's no such thing as blind faith. It's faith you have in God, and you take the step. It's not blind faith. Faith always relies upon God's word. So it's not blind if God says, you see, His word and His spirit must agree together. Must agree together. Must agree together. Word and spirit agree together. Does God want me to do this or not? What does the word and the spirit say to your heart? Does God want me to do this? You don't go have to ask, and I've said this so many times, and pastors all around the world face the same thing. People will say, I don't know. What do you think, pastor? And I say thus and so, and let me go ask 10 more people, 15 more people. Let me get a consensus. Let's take a survey about this. How about you go to the Word and the Holy Ghost?
Yeah, come on.
Now here's the second part of this message. The space where miracles happen. So you see, when you follow His voice, there is this space where miracles happen. Answers comes to prayers. From the days of John the Baptist until now the kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violent take it by force. In other words, moving out and grasping a hold and taking a hold of it. Miracles happen at that place where we find ourselves faced with a choice. David, you got a choice to make. You're going to grab your sword and run out the door and start swinging and just take those Philistines head on? Or are you going to stay shut up in your house and enclose yourself, afraid that you might lose the battle? Got a choice, David. Sometimes we've got choices to make. Faced with choice to act or to draw back. And when the Lord has prompted us to make that step, and we make it, this is the divine space where we see the miraculous working of God's power and His grace. It's that mystic form that is moving out across the water, and disciples in the ship. They see this shimmering object moving across the water. I'm sure they was frightened. It was hard to understand what they were seeing, but Peter, being bold and brash as he was, he asked the question, Lord, is that you? It's always good to know if the Lord is in it or He's not in it. David wanted to know, if I go out to fight these Philistines, are you in this thing? And if you are you going to help me win the battle? It's that space, that moment. It's the voice that comes back to Peter from across the water. Simple, not complicated. And the voice that comes back says, come. It's that space. It's that moment when you need an answer from God. You need to hear the voice of God. And you need a miracle to work on your behalf. You need that something that's going to reassure you that God's in this. Amen. You've prayed. You've ask God, are you in this? God, will you give me the victory through this? It's that space, that moment. It could be milliseconds. It could be a couple of minutes. And Peter was standing on the deck of this small ship, and he had a choice to make. It's like we have choices to make. He inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, come. The voice
spoke back to him, come. And in that moment, he had to make this choice to walk on the water or not. To step out and put a foot over the wall of the ship. Oh yeah, he took his eyes off of the Lord and began to sing, but God reached out his hand and pulled him back up again. But it's that moment that you need that breakthrough. It's that moment that Peter said, okay, and he swung his leg over the side of that ship and he stepped out on it. I don't care what you're facing. It could be finance. It could be your job. It's getting a promotion. It's your family. It's your kids. It's whatever. God, I know you said you'd fight my battles. Are you in this battle? If I go out to battle, are you going to help me win this battle? Because David knew if God was not going to answer his prayer and be with him in this battle, he might as well have stayed home. Sometimes without God, you make a bigger mess with it. Through the years of pastoring, I'll never forget the voice of the pastor, Brother Dewey Kraft. I assisted him for some time. And he told me a very unique thing about pastoring, which I've tried through the years to implicate in counseling and so forth. Sometimes people come to the pastor, Pastor, you know this, and that person doing this, and that person doing that, and that, about, and next thing you know, and you got the pastor running this direction, that direction, and making a mess out of here, making a mess of, you know, if you're not careful, you can offend people. Well, I don't care if I offend them or not. Yeah, you don't like to have friends, do you? He gave me some great advice about pastoring. When there is a difficult problem going on, when there is a situation going on, don't rush into it. It's good advice about your marriage. It's a good advice about your family. It's a good advice about your job. He said, give it a little time. Kind of see how it unfolds a little bit. He said, of course, if it needs to be handled, you just handle it. Did you have to do that? But oftentimes, we're just ready to rush right into it, draw our sword, run out into battle, whack a few Philistines. And a few other of our friends are laying over to the side. That's called friendly fire. I don't understand why the pastor let somebody get away with that. Listen, it's not me they got to worry about. It's not me that they got to worry about. It's God they got to worry about. God keeps a scorecard. Come on. Yeah, he does. In fact, it says he keeps a book. Amen. My job is to feed the sheep and get them settled and help lead them beside the still waters and feed them. And I'm not a policeman. I don't go around writing tickets, peeking into windows. See, that's silly. Oh, you'd be surprised.
Come on.
Man, I got off the subject, didn't I? Okay, I got to get back to it. Amen.
Right.
You want a breakthrough?
Amen.
I know I want a breakthrough.
Yes.
Maybe more than one thing I need a breakthrough on, and you as well.
Amen.
But I need to inquire of the Lord before I go out to battle. And so we're moving forward in a place that further than we would normally go and exercise ourselves beyond the normal level of participation. I've not done this before. I've not sought God in this way before. It's a new place to go. It's a new area to move into. It's where I've got to exercise myself beyond my normal level, my normal limits. It struck me that miracles really do happen just a few steps beyond where we naturally would go. I want to see God move. Then you've got to move beyond right where you have been for so long. I want to see a great revival. Then the church has got to move just a little beyond where it is normally at. And it's that risk factor. God, do you want us to go into revival? God, do you want us as evangelists to come? God, what do you want? There is that space that is filled with faith. Like seeing the stepping stones through the water that flows over them in the stream. It's seeing beyond the surface to see the rock that will support you while you step out in faith. And we often and must be able to see beyond the surface to make that step in that place where God is prompting us to go. Now think about this. The things of God are not naturally discerned. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
You can't figure out if that was God or not of God in a carnal mind or a carnal state. You can't call a file on God or blow the whistle when you're unmovable in your faith. Unmovable is simply it's just not believing. Even when it seems you would have all the tools in the box to get a job done, that being known, when you seek God, you need God to tell you which tool to pick up. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. You cannot know God unless you've got the spirit of God in you. Stop trying to figure out what God would have, should have, done, could have, whatever, would have. And the reason why you're guessing at it, because you are not filled up to the spirit level. And your engines is locked up. You haven't paid attention to the oil gauge. Stop trying to figure out. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? In other words, I know, but I cannot know the Spirit of God unless I have the Spirit of God. In a moment of time, things change. We travel from night to morning with the turning of the numbers on the clock from a.m. to p.m., the dropping of the ball at New Year's telling us another year has come along and we're in a new year, 2018. Jesus walked the roads of Judah. Israel did not know Messiah had come. I do not want to move through life and not know God's near me. I do not want to walk through day after day and not know the voice or hear the voice of God. Israel did not know Messiah because the lack of pomp and circumstances or the pomp and circumstances, they could not see the meaning of the miracles. No amount of seeing brings faith. No amount of seeing brings faith. No amount of seeing brings faith. It is that knowing inside of us when we don't see it or it comes in a way that is different than what we anticipated. I didn't see that coming. God did this.
Amen.
That's why faith is evidence of things what? Unseen. And the evidence pops up. Bah. How can we perceive sometimes the voice of God? For Peter, it came in a vision of a sheet full of unclean animals. For Paul, it was a bright light and a booming voice as he's laying on his back.
in a dusty road. How will it come to you? How will it come to me? I cannot say, but I do know that our ability to connect with the time of God revolves around our ability to tune into the Word of God and of the world of the Spirit of God. Sure, church sure ain't what it used to be. When did you stop being what the church used to be? Well, they ain't worshiping like you. Who stopped you from worshiping? Who stopped you from believing?
Amen.
This poor soul showed up to my home Bible study. Full on Bible study. Pastor, they say Jesus' name baptism. We need to get him baptized. Sure, absolutely. You see, in our lives, we need a breakthrough. And that breakthrough comes in that moment, that space where you've never been before, where we've never ventured before, where we've never walked before. And it may seem scary. It may be that we don't understand what God wants to do. Who would have thought that the Apostle Paul was going to be the most productive apostle? Most of the Christian doctrine flows from the conversion of the single man. What would have happened if Ananias had not went and prayed for Paul? God, is that you dealing with me? That man is a murderer. He's arrested Christians. God, what should you? Is this you? I just can't shake this. It's that space that Ananias walked where he never walked before. It's that adventure that Peter stepped over the gunwale walls of the ship. It's that miracle space of moment that the breakthrough comes through.
Amen. Yes.
Used to be when walking around the walls of Jericho, people would march around the walls or the church and the aisle way and so forth, you know. Oh. How many remember those times? How many remember that? Come on. Okay, there's only two old timers in here. Me and you. But it happens regardless. And this is what happens. I used to say, you let them sing it one more time. And then I'll get out there and I'll march around. Bunch of you, when the Spirit of God gets moving in the church on Sunday mornings, you'll keep saying, well, God, if I get out there, I don't know if I should do that. You see, it's that space you've never been to before. It's right there where the miracle or the answered prayer for your family or for the job or the finances or the breakthrough that you've always asked God for but never seemed to get a hold of. It's that space, that moment that you never stepped into before. David's fought the battles. He's had the sword in his hand. He's slain his thousands. You've wrestled. You've fought. But maybe this time you need to inquire to hear the voice of God. Let's lift our hands right now. So the Lord here, it's about finished here with this. Christopher Columbus gazed over the horizon and believed in a round earth. Everybody was telling him the earth was flat. We never know the significance of the little things we do that are motivated by God. And I've found that in my life. I'm sure you have as well. But some of the most significant things in my life has sprung from the inspiration and then follow. And often it proves to be something of great note. It is in this arena when we immediately respond to what we feel led to do that miracles happen. You can stand around and complain about it all you want to. Won't you just get the job done? You can stand around and complain to people and rap to people and tell them this and tell them that and tell them your story up and down 15,000 times. See them same people a month later, they're still telling the same story. See them a year later, they're still complaining about the same thing. Life is not fair. This world is not just. But you have a God that said, ask Him anything, faith believing. Huh? Is this an apostolic church? Is it an apostolic people? Is it an apostolic faith? It's time to stand up. It's time to stand up. I'm a blessed person. I have been blessed. The Lord has blessed me. I'm a blessed child of God. God has blessed me. God's blessed my family. Devil, take your hands off of my family. Devil, your chains are broken. I've never been that before. I've never stood that before. I've never walked out in that arena before. You're just that step away from the miracle. Well, let's stand together. That's God come. Peter and John on the way to the temple. Silver and gold have we none. But such as I have. Peter and John ask a man to stand. Read, it's in your Bible. Ask him to stand where he hadn't stood for a long time. It's in that space of time that this man had to make a choice. How he was going to react. He'd never been healed before. His ankles had not ever been strengthened before. It's that moment when he took the hand. I don't know if it was Peter or John, but took the hand and took a step. Oh, what's happened? Oh, Sholom Kushata. It took another step and let loose of the hand of Peter or John, whoever he had. And it took another step and another step. He's not staggering anymore. And he ran into the temple, praising, worshiping God. Your miracle is just that space of choice where you'd never been or stepped before. Let's lift our hands, give God thanks for His miracles, miracles, miracles. We make our mark in our world by hearing and seeing what others cannot act upon and see or hear and move boldly. The church, apostolic church, steps into that place, into that space of spiritual potential. It's where miracles happen. Come on, church. That's where a building is built. That's where the assembly is filled to capacity. That is where your loved ones you've been praying for. That's where miracles, signs, and wonders. But we haven't shouted like that, I can't tell you, in 20, 30, 40 years. I'm not telling you got to do this, but I'm telling you, you see, faith has a reaction to it. It has a response to it. Well, I'm not that character. I'm not that kind of a makeup. Well, turn loose of the carnal man. Stop trying to figure everything out. Turn loose of that carnal man. Step in a place where you never have stepped before. Allow God to do something that He used to do in your life, but you hadn't allowed it to happen.
Amen.
It's in that space. It's that putting your foot over the side of the ship. And the battle you're facing and the problem that you're facing. God, this is a big battle. This is a big fight. This is a big deal. This is going on. This is really bad.
Amen.
Enemies come up to test us.
Yes.
If I go out to fight, are you going to be with me? Are you going to give the enemy into my hands?
Amen.
Yeah, God said go.
Amen.
Go.
Hallelujah.
I'll go. Let's go. Is it easy? No. It takes time to put the armor on. It takes time to get the helmet on. It takes time to saddle the horse. It takes time to do this. It takes time to do that. But it's the ride back home in victory that was worth the effort to move into the space where miracles happen. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody need a miracle?
Amen.
Anybody need answered prayer?
Amen.
Anybody want to hear the voice of God?
Yes.
Seek Him while He yet may be found.